Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the G Spot with Mika Ray. And of course, I am Miss Mika Ray. We also have two guest hosts on tonight. I have Keroy, and I think you go by, what do you say you go by, Keroy?
Keys.
Okay, Mr. Keys. And then we have Joy.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi, honey. So, how are you two doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
I'm doing great, too. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we really appreciate you joining us. I know this is your first time, Keira. So we're going to break you in very sexy light and make sure you have a good time tonight.
That's cool with me.
Okay, right. One moment. Alrighty. So tonight's topic, everyone, is on STD, sex, and protection. So I really want to get deep and down and dirty on the STD talk. A lot of times we feel like, you know, we're all adults, so we don't have to worry about STDs. We're not teenagers anymore. We got this covered, but that's not exactly true. A lot of us are still adults have some of the highest rate of STDs out there. So we have to make sure we are protecting ourselves. So we want to definitely talk about that tonight. And I want to hear your opinions. I want to hear your thoughts in regards to it. Like, what do you do? Do you make sure that you have your partner tested before you have sex with them? Is that a conversation you even have in regards to their sexual history? And it's definitely not an easy conversation, but it is very necessary for us to talk about it. So I want you all to start thinking about what you want to say. You press 1 if you want to make a comment or you have a question. And you are listening to the G-Spot with Mika Ray on WJBR. So we're going to start off with a song. The first song is Body by Wale. And I'm starting off with that because we're going to ease our way through this process. You know, you meet somebody, you think they all sexy and they all fine and all of that, and then you just end up sleeping with them. You don't even care about their sexual history. So we're going to work our way through it that way. So we're going to start off with The Body by Wale.
Baby, you got a body like
a man. I don't mean no disrespect,
but I'm just trying to drive it again.
I just want to be provided with the flyers.
Like I'm just trying to drive it once again.
Shorty, can I be your tank? Yeah, tank, yeah.
Yeah.
Start off with that, what you drinking?
Yeah.
Pardon if I'm road raging, raging. But I know you heard my driver's crazy, crazy. Let me pace that with some patience. Let me do it till I feel like void. You're like a Maybach, thinking damn, they don't even make them like you no more. It's like a high beam gleaming through your eyes. I adore you up, baby, suicide. Low wordplay, I'm hoping that'll make you smile. At least until I'm out of line like a DUI. Girl, you remind me of my D. Can I see what's up with that D wagon? Can I take you off of these streets?
Yo, mate.
To the side of me, and I'm trying to see your hazards. Trying to be with the baddest, won't be the fastest. Gotta make it last. I hope you're comfortable. I need to get to you. You're like a sticking stew. A little work, then it's curtains when I'm skirting through. Came through in the group, trying to leave in the coop. I mean, I got you, but I believe in you. Trying to chase the cat. No, I'm killing the dog. You ain't feeling me, no.
You remind me of my Jeep.
I wanna ride.
Nothing
like my car.
Wow.
I got the keys to them, but need the keys to you.
Girl, put on a show. You don't need no clothes.
Bro.
Give me a little bit more.
Bro.
Don't just take it slow.
And I wasn't prepared to love. I know I sound crazy, but your mouth scared me. I'm just here cause your character good.
Truth be told.
Good and it's rare to her.
Truth be told.
You heard it all, but here it is love.
One night with dude, that be the reason you cool. So let me know I'm a clear enough.
Yeah, what's up?
Way out, way out, that's the way I think.
Yeah.
Shawty straight like a concept and they on street. In the morning I slide over, she needs a ride. I'm like, child, let's give it AMG. Sliding down, but sipping tea in the street. Top down, let me keep the physique. I'm digging your fleet. I'm checking your gear, cause tell you I had a good year, spin a grip on your feet. She like when I drive it, I like it in park. Pull that thing over you, likely to soar. I got her floating like riding on stars. So I keep it GPS, see where this going. Nothing will stop it, I slide in no prob. Chop it, my swipe in your pot. She's a weapon, my snake in her garden. So no one, I'm not here to viper is on.
Alrighty, alright. So welcome back, everyone. And that is one of my favorite songs, so I'm so happy we could play that tonight. So let's get the conversation started. So I've come up with, and Keys and Joy, you can tell me what you think about this. I've come up with a little acronym for us to start talking about STDs, and especially with this new partner that we're sleeping with. So the first one for S. So S is start the conversation. And I think it's very important that when you meet someone new and you're preparing, or even before you're preparing to engage in sex with them, that you talk about their sexual history. You talk about yours, you talk about theirs, and you talk about wanting to get tested or at least seeing each other's results. So what do you two think about that?
Well, I could tell you mine real quick. I mean, I think that's a good idea. The thing is, when it comes to getting tested and having results, it depends on how long it happened and then what has transpired between that time frame when you met, you know, your new friend. So either way it goes, you still have to really be careful about the sexual activity with them, you know, even though it's a good, because I have met women who say, yeah, I just had an HIV test this certain amount of time ago, which is good. And only thing is, you just never know if that disease lied dormant at the time that they had the test, or if they contracted anything since that time frame. So either way, it's just risky behavior all the way around, if you ask me.
I agree with that as well. I feel basically what they've always been teaching us since grade school, protect, you know, using protection. That's basically the best, the only route to go, you know, without trying not to catch anything, because like he just said, like it's a very sticky situation. Just because you just got tested doesn't mean anything, really. You know, they say, you know, it takes however long before it can, you know, HIV can show up. You know, a lot of the tests, some of the STD tests, like gonorrhea and stuff like that, yeah, that comes back within a couple of days. You know, but the STDs that are deadly, unfortunately, those are the ones that can lie dormant. And you just never know. So, you know, it's just we basically protection. We just got to keep protecting ourselves, basically.
But, you know, one thing I would say is I have to respect the person who will let the person they're having sex with up front, let them know they have something going on with them. That way they can make their own educated decision about that. I do know someone who was HIV positive, and they told their, you know, their partner they was HIV positive. And they gave them, you know, they gave their partner a fair chance to take a risk with them rather than them not knowing at all. Because even if you wear a rubber, it's still the chance it could bust. It's still the chance you can contract it. So I would just like someone who can, I would really respect a person who can just let you know up front if something going on with them sexually. That way you can make your own educated decision.
I agree with that too. And saying that, a lot of people are scared to, you know, a lot of people say, I've heard people say the same thing you just said. They respect people more if they just come out at the beginning and tell their partner if they have something going on with themselves. But then a lot of people, you know, to me it's easier said than done because a lot of people are not here. If you do be upfront with them, that person, say, you know, y'all have gotten these deep emotions for each other, these feelings, and then you tell them, it's almost like, I wonder how this person is going to react. I wonder if they're going to stay. I wonder if they're going to start looking at me nasty now. And it's like almost a person may keep that secret because they're scared they're going to lose that person, even though that shouldn't be their thought because, like you said, they should, you know, tell that person up front so that other person can make that decision whether they're going to stay or not. But because so many of us are not educated when it comes down to a lot of these STDs, the first thing people do is look at them, you know, and that's kind of messed up, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, so I do agree that it is basically the tabooness that is making it hard for people to first off say that they have an STD because they feel like, you know, you're going to judge me or you're going to treat me basically like shit because of that. But we have to commend people who are upfront about their sexual health, because at the end of the day, I still feel like it's all your responsibility to take care of your own sexual health. But when you have someone who is kind enough, considerate enough, upfront enough, honest enough, authentic enough to say, yes, I'm dealing with an STD, and I want to let you know, because the main things that we have to worry about, let's just be honest, is just like Key said, is HIV, herpes 1 and 2, because we know that those three things, there are no cures for those things right now, and you know, you just can't get rid of those easily. So that's something you're going to deal with for life. So you can never really lie about it, because by the time, you know, eventually, if you're going to be with this person forever, you know,
right. You're
going to have to tell them sometime or the other, and it's best to probably get it out of the way in the beginning. That gives you an opportunity to see, well, if this person doesn't, you know, really care about me, really want to be with me, really respect me, they're going to be with you regardless. Because if like Joy was saying, if you're educated enough, you will already know what you need to do to protect yourself. Like, we know HSV 1 and 2, you can easily contract it, but there are many things that you could do to protect yourself. So it's not that big of a risk. So I like that you all said that. So number two, which we kind of cover, is for T. And T is test. And that's just basically test before sex, or at least view each other's recent results if you've had recent results. But definitely maybe go on and get the test together. And testing is very important. I put the question out there, how often should you test? I say every 3 to 6 months, but some people say a year or more. But 3 to 6 months, I think, is a great way to catch some of those things that we talked about earlier that may lie dormant in your system. And then you are always aware of what's going on with your body sexually. And it's not, I had someone call in to Brunch in the Basement on Saturday when I kind of went over a little bit of this, and she was like, well, why wouldn't you do it every year? This is up to you. How sexually healthy do you want to be? Do you want to be sexually healthy enough that you're testing every 3 to 6 months, or you don't care enough about your sexual health and you're going to go and test yourself every year or so? You don't know what's in your body.
I think it's a case-to-case with people, because it all depends on how sexually active you are. If you are not sexually active that often, and you probably have, you know, probably one person, I would say 6 months to a year. Yeah, you don't know what the other person is doing. But to me, I would say 6 months to a year. Now, if you out there, you're dating, and almost everybody, majority of people you meet, you're having sex, then, yeah, you need to be going 3 to 6 months to go be, you know, because you out there, you know. So I just think it's on a case by case.
Yeah, I can agree with that it could be a case by case. I'm mainly, I guess, speaking more for people who are, you know, more sexually active. And you made a good point. You don't know what your spouse is doing. We love to think that our spouses or our sexual partners are out there being sexually safe. They're not sleeping with anybody else. And if they are, you know, they're using protection or whatever. But we cannot guarantee that. So our best way to do it is to protect ourselves. So, you know, you just have to do what you have to do for your own body, especially if we kind of think about, like we had said before, we talked about this on the download show. I don't know if y'all remember that, but when I did the download show, we talked about how some men, you know, they are having sex with women and they're having sex with men, and they are bringing HIV back, and it's not all. Down men, but some of them are. They're bringing it back to these women because women believe he ain't cheating, and if he is cheating, he definitely not cheating with a man, so I don't have to worry about it. So those are things that we have to be precautious of, because it's our body. We're the ones that's going to have to live with it, not anyone else. But this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so that was my thought on that. Keys, it sounded like you had something to say. I didn't want to leave you out of that conversation.
Well, I mean, I agree with both y'all. I mean, yeah, I guess it does depend on how sexually active you are as far as getting tested. 3 to 6 months or 6 months to a year. I mean, it's always safe to get sex. I mean, I guess, yeah, how many times do you actually have sex? I guess what it depends on that. Because with the partners you have, as you mentioned, y'all pretty much covered it. It's no telling how many partners they actually have. So I guess it depends on how sexually active you are, you know.
Right. That's a good thought. It depends on how sexually active you are. Now, we do have a caller, 3205. So I'm going to bring them on. Give me 1 second. Hello, 3205?
Yes, this is caller 3205.
Hey.
And better known as Chuck.
Oh, hi there.
Hello, hi, how are you?
I am well.
Hello, Chuck.
Hello, hi, how are you?
Great to hear your voice.
Great to hear yours as well.
We appreciate you tuning in to the G-Spot with Mika Ray. So do you have a comment today?
Yes, I do, and this is a very interesting conversation. I'm glad I joined today. Thank you for inviting me. But there's several points I really wanted to make regarding the conversation. First of all, I know you just mentioned about men, you know, being on the down low in the previous conversation you had, but also you have, you know, women that are on the down low that are married, engaging in various activities, you know, in reckless sexual activity, and could contract, you know, anything from HIV to herpes. And the reason why I can say this is because I know a woman who actually, a female contracted the herpes virus from another female. And she's married, and her husband still doesn't know that she has, you know, the herpes disease. And so, like I said, so and she's afraid to tell him because in the end she would have to admit to having an affair outside of the relationship. So, and then, like I said, and another point I wanted to mention was when you're talking about diseases, so I can tell you, being a heterosexual male that, you know, of course, you know, that dates women, the women, I can tell you, in most cases, the woman has the power. So if the woman will stop a man, for example, I know this young lady who I've been knowing for years, and me and her, real cool, never had sex before. And her thing is she refused to have sex with a man. So at this point, we're just friends, but she refused to have sex with any man unless he provides her with a most recent HIV test. She won't even let him touch it, you know, touch it. I mean, I'm talking about kiss it, touch it, lick it, nothing, because she understands, you know, really, because she understands. And she tells me it's difficult for her at times because, you know, she has, you know, those emotions and the fluids going through her. Just like any other woman, she gets hot and she wants a man to touch her and have sex with and everything. But she's afraid, kind of, but not. She would not allow herself to engage in an activity because she's afraid of, like I said, the consequences. And she has two kids that she's trying to raise and take care of. And she says she wants to be there for her children. So like I said, all that to say, the woman in most cases has the power to control if that man touches it or not, just by saying no. And then, like I said, and then she could actually force him to go and bring that test to her, get his standard checkups, and bring that test to her before proceeding on to having any type of physical contact with her.
Well, when she get that first test, if she's that careful, then she gonna have to wait 6 more months for him to get another test. Because
right.
Guess what? Like Key said earlier, it can lay dormant for 6 months if you contract it. So, I mean, that's a tough, life
totally agree.
to live, nothing.
Right. So to that point, like I said, as a female, you know, when you're involving in relationships, or even a male, you know, if you're involving in, you know, some certain type of, activities, you have the power to say, well, this is what my goals, what my value is going to be at this point. My value is going to be, I'm going to accept, or force this male based on, there's going to be certain parameters around my relationship when it comes to physical contact with the person that I'm dealing with, which means you could say, well, let me see the next 2 years of your physicals, you know, your checkups to ensure that you are clean. You know what I mean? So like I said, so you have to set parameters surrounding what you expect from your mate in order for you to ensure that you're safe, because ultimately it's your life at stake. So you want to roll the dice with your life and say, well, look, you know, I'm going to gamble today and I might die, you know, a couple of years from now, or either I might walk around with a disease that I can't get rid of, which means now it's going to be hard for me to date someone because now I'm going to be in fear of giving, passing along a disease to the next person I deal with. So it's going to actually limit your options with any other relationships as you continue to date.
But what's so
scary about all of this,
you know, especially when we're single, of course, definitely we always need to be getting checked. But then it's a whole nother story when you're married, and a lot of married people think they don't have to go get tested because they're married now, but it's like basically in this world it seems like you just got to continuously get tested because you don't know what the other person is doing, you know. So it's just it's a crazy
and that's
world,
true, because that is definitely true. Just like, you know, our guest stated that the young lady went out and cheated on her husband and now she has herpes. And he doesn't know, but if they have already set into standards of practicing safe sex, meaning that they are going to be checked every 3 to 6 months together, then he's going to know. He's going to find out. And that she has a little secret way of hiding it or something. But it's really hard to hide it if you're doing it together.
To the flip side of that, now what if he does contract it, but yet he had been fooling around on the side, and now he's afraid to tell her that he has it because he's afraid he received it from whoever he was messing around with.
Right.
And so.
So it is, like you said, it is very complicated. It's a very hard conversation. It's very hard to deal with, but we just have to be strong enough, brave enough to do it anyway, because it's really hard to be in a relationship with someone you just hold in secret. You can't have any fun. You're not going to have good sex because you're worried that you're going to give your partner the thing that you contracted when you went and cheated, you know, or that you're going to give them something that you that never told them that you had in the first place. And that is a really hard life to live. Like, you're married to this person, now you got to constantly worry about if you're going to give them an STD. And you let them go.
You would think people would start being more faithful nowadays, don't you think? But
yeah, you would think, girl, but they don't. They're not. They don't care.
No.
But you know, another thing to add to this is the fact that, you know, we talk about being responsible and asking for tests and things like that. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, individuals engage in sexual activity when they're not in their right mind. They could be drunk. They could be in the moment.
Right. Absolutely.
And
sure.
That'll just make you just think completely different of the whole aspect of it. And that will get people in a lot of trouble, too.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. And
I can relate.
Yeah.
I thought we all can relate.
Oh, I thought you were going to relate. There was an article, and I'm going to look for the article, which was the reason why I did this show, is because I was reading an article about this young lady, and I'll find it and I'll post it for everyone to see in the invite. But the lady and this guy, she met him at a bar. They were drinking. And she proceeded to have sex with him over a 3-day time period. Numerous times. Well, one day he was in the shower and she saw his, I don't know what she was fumbling through, but she happens to see that he was HIV positive.
Wow.
And she became mad at him for having unprotected sex with her. And then when they talked about it, because she sued him, then she was suing him, and then of course he went to jail because, you know, if you give someone HIV knowingly, then you do go to jail for it because it's like, I forgot what they call it, premeditated murder. It's something they call it, whatever they call it. But they will send you to jail for it if you out there knowingly giving someone HIV. But anyway, he went to jail, and then in her response, she said, "Well, he didn't wear a condom. He just didn't wear a condom." But that is, you know, to me, I feel like this: if you are out here having unprotected sex with someone, regardless of if they've told you their results or not, you should also be punished too. Because went out there and you opened your legs and you didn't make him put on a condom, or you didn't practice safe sex with the female you were having sex with.
Because I actually feel like I don't care how drunk you are, like you should be able to be like, hey, wait, because I know I done been towed up. But I still didn't stop. So, you know, and be like, hey, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't, unless, if you that messed up to where you can't say, hey, you know, you got on the condom with your condoms or whatever, you don't need to be having sex, period. Because that means you are just totally, it's almost like the person about to have sex with somebody that's almost half dead, you know?
Right,
if you can't, you know, so you don't need to be doing nothing.
And you know what? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, like, so say fans are like what Joy mentioning. So you in the moment with the guy you hardly know, and you have him wear a condom, and you all start talking for months and months, and you wearing condoms. Do it ever come to the point where you're going to feel safe enough to have unprotected sex?
Good question. Good question.
That is a very great question. Thank you, Chuck. But I think that... I really appreciate that. But I do feel that it comes back to what we said before. It is making sure that you're testing regularly, even in the relationship. These are some standards that you should set in the beginning so that it's not awkward 5 years down the line when you say, you know what, babe, I want you to have an STD test. This is something that y'all have always done. You continue to do it. And then, yes, there's a lot of people out there who feel that they are in, I'm saying feel that they are in monogamous relationships, because sometimes they feel it and they're really not. But there are some people out there who feel they're in a monogamous relationship and they do have unprotected sex. And I think that's fine if that's your rule, you know, whatever. You trust that person enough, then you do it. But still make sure you are engaging in making sure you're having those STD tests. And I really want to bring on one more caller, and then after this call, we're going to go to a song, and then we're going to bring on the next caller. So let's see. Hang on. Okay, this is 1521. Hello?
Hi, y'all. This is, my name's Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? I know we talked online, so it's good to talk to you finally in real life.
Oh, thank you. Welcome to the G-Spot.
Thank you, thank you. First, I just wanted to say that what y'all said, I don't know her name, but what she said about getting just drunk and tore up and having sex, first, I will put a disclaimer out. I'm a minister, but I didn't always act right, I put it that way. And I will tell you that I agree with her 100%. I've been pretty drunk and messed around, and I don't care how tore up you are, you never are tore up enough to not put on a condom. And I've been so drunk, you know, messing with people and messed up in the head, that the only thing I do remember was putting on a condom. So people need to make sure that they do that when they're drinking. But I wanted to bring up a question, or when they're smoking, because people smoke these days. But I have a question that I wanted to ask. One of the big things, especially in the African-American church, is the problem with, I guess, the issue of we teach in the church abstinence, but realistically we know that everybody is not abstinent, or in fact most people in the church are not abstinent.
Right.
What are some of the ideas y'all think of how to bring the conversation first about sex in general and having safe sex, and the conversation also about having HIV into the church?
Well, if you don't mind, I guess I'll start off. I feel like first we have to make sure that we are getting the conversation need to come from someone that people are going to trust. A lot of times people find it very uncomfortable to talk about sex with their pastor or the minister of the church. So maybe enlisting one of the members who have a good rapport with the youth or with the church family as a whole anyway, and having them come in once or twice a month, and you have in those classes where people sit down and actually have a discussion. Another way you could do it too is doing it through creative arts, like a play or poetry. People, you know, a lot of young adults love poetry. They love music. They love entertainment, and that's a great way to get out there and have the conversation started. But it needs to be with someone that they feel comfortable enough to actually open up and talk about sex. And I know a lot of times pastors and ministers and the youth leaders are not the people that they feel comfortable talking about sex with.
It scares them away, actually.
Right.
So
it really does.
I really agree with the whole poetry and plays. That really, to me, when you do poetry and plays, it brings such a deep message, deeper than just sitting down having conversation. The youth especially gets the message when it's brought from entertainment, whether it's plays and or poetry or music. They really get that message. So that was a great point, Mika. Like, if the church does that more often with those type of, you know, subjects and topics, I think the youth will really hear it. And then after the entertainment, have those classes, you know, to go over those really deep, you know.
Right, like an open forum where they feel safe. They have to feel safe to share their thoughts and their feelings in that environment. So, any other thoughts to his question?
Well, just to go beyond even the churches, what about, and I've never heard this before, at a certain stage in a kid's school life, for example, once they become a senior or so on and so forth, what about the school system providing, you know, testing, not mandatory, but optional testing for seniors? Because, of course, that is the age when they're real, you know, sexually active. And like I said, and this was some of the stuff begins, you know, as far as, you know, the STDs, so on and so forth. And like I said, you very rarely hear of schools, you know, I know they provide condoms in some cases, but as far as providing testing for those who either introduce, you know, more about safe sex and testing, I know they have sex educational classes, but I don't think they do enough of it in the school system.
I definitely
think it, Yeah, that is true. And I think the hardest part about the kids is the fact that they have that mind frame is that it could never happen to me. So we have to find ways to keep out of that mind frame in order for them to listen to anything anybody has to say about sexual transmitted diseases.
Right. Definitely agree. And I think we just have to stop promoting, I mean, not necessarily stop promoting abstinence in church, in schools and churches, but start promoting protection, sexual health above everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you say, teenagers are going to do it. People, even, you know, adults in the church who claim that they are waiting to marriage, they're going to have some type of sex. Most of them do anyway. They're not going to tell the pastor, but they out there still having sex. So,
and
it's
this
like,
is a new age, too. So, yeah, like you just said, like, we have to try to figure out how to turn it around because that, like you say, we don't want to stop promoting abstinence, but that's kind of like the old days now of teaching abstinence. No, now we need to teach what's going on in 2015 and so on. This is a whole new generation, a new age. So it's like, okay, what new can we do besides
you know what?
Abstinence?
And the funny thing is, well, it's not funny, but the ironic thing is nowadays the girls are so much more aggressive than the guys. The girls, I mean, they're putting it out there, and I mean, it's even to another point that they would rather, you know, have oral sex, you know, with a guy first, versus when I was growing up, we couldn't get no oral sex.
Right.
But these young girls, that's like the thing to do, you know. Let's, you know, go give that guy some head, give us some oral sex, you know. And the thing is, they don't realize that they can still contract the same diseases, you know, via that avenue because of the lack of education.
Right. And then I think that was the worst thing the school system could have done is taken away sexual education.
It was really horrible because
sometimes I know your parents are supposed to teach you, but sometimes you got these kids that are being raised by moms and dads who aren't in the home because, you know, maybe due to work or some other type of drug activity or whatever, and they're not getting the attention or the time that they need at home. So that school was a place they could go to and kind of get some of the things that the parents weren't doing. And sexual education was one of those things.
Right. Absolutely.
So,
and then nowadays, the parents are promiscuous. You know, the parents out there doing what they're doing. So
that is definitely true. We've definitely entered a different type of sexual revolution from the one that was in, like, what, the 60s and the 70s. We've definitely entered into this sexual revolution where it's okay now. So, you know, at one time it was taboo to be the girl that's just sleeping around or giving head.
Right.
You know, it was taboo to be that girl. Now it's like you really are hot stuff if you out there giving it away and you giving good head. You know,
exactly.
You want to be the superhead of your
writing books about
or something.
It. Never would have thought.
Never would have thought. So times have definitely changed, and we as adults, as leaders in our communities, in the church, in the schools, we have to start evolving as the time changes so that we're making sure we're giving these students and these teens and these young adults what they need to grow and stay healthy, mentally, physically, and especially sexually. So, Chris, was it Chris?
Yes, it was Chris.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
Did you have anything else you would like to say before we move on?
Well, I think that what y'all said was just great when you had talked about the ideas in the church. And also, I do a lot of work at the schools as well. And I do some work with our school programs called Gay Straight Alliances. And one of the interesting things is I went with the local AIDS activism and health program to the school. And one of the things that I was shocked here, at least in Virginia, and I'm not sure how every school system works in the state, I was told that they could not actually talk about sex and tell anything to the kids about safe sex because it was illegal. And I thought that was... talking, you know, they got these, you know, in Virginia they had a wave of, you know, the right-wing politicians come in, and there's, and I think that what you said was so true, because there are, it's like it's, the system has reversed itself. It's more dangerous now than ever before, because when I was going into, you know, schools here in Virginia 15 years ago, in high school, we were taught about sex ed and all of that stuff, and now these kids don't know how to put on a condom. And we call that education. So I definitely think that we've got to realize that outside of the schools, even outside of the church, we've got to be able to train people up and teach these young kids about sexual health in a non-judgmental manner.
Right.
Definitely agree. Well, we really appreciate you coming on and talking and definitely bringing up those points on how we can talk to the youth, especially in the church, about sex. And I think you brought up some great points. I really appreciate you joining. And I hope you continue to listen.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We appreciate you. Okay, so I want to play this next song, and then we're going to go to another caller, 8309 and 4111. So you two are up next when I come back.
phone back out. I heard.
Okay, everyone. So welcome back to the G-Spot with Mika Ray on blogtalkradio.com/WJBR. So thank you all for tuning in. I feel like this conversation has really done more than what I expected. So I'm very happy about it and very excited. And I appreciate everyone who is on listening to us. And I do see the people with their hands raised to say something. So I will be bringing you on. Give me just one moment. Let me go ahead and bring you on now. So the next one I have is 4111. Hello.
Hi, Miss Mika. This is Tasha.
Hi, Tasha. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Well, pretty much I've been listening to what everybody's saying about sexually active and STDs, and I'm going to hit on 2 points very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, as far as the kids that the guy was discussing, mm-hmm. nowadays the kids are pretty very young as far as catching STDs. They are now as young as 14 that are catching STDs, which is horrendous. And it is indeed A, non-education, and B, because, quote-unquote, everyone is doing it. And just like someone said, you can't catch STD oral sex. You know, anally, orally, quote-unquote, that's not really sex. You can't catch an STD.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to us to educate them.
Right.
The church is a difficult task. And it's kind of taboo. So you really have to find a way and be creative to get to the church and understand or have them understand drugs, HIV, all kinds of diseases. Now, my second point is a lot of people that I've been listening to are gearing towards sex, 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 sex. But, of course, Mika, you know where I'm going with this. No mm-hmm. one is thinking about drugs. You can catch STD with drugs. Nowadays,
yes.
Doing every and anything to get a hold of those drugs, be it meth, be it prescription, be it anything, and even something, quote-unquote, as simple, as you will, as marijuana. Women and men, they're having sex with everybody. They're using needles with everyone, and they are contracting these diseases. Now, once they become clean, they're more focused on staying clean, but they're not focused on, did I catch something? And they have a family, and their family is focused on staying clean. But no one is paying attention to an STD. And we need to put that out there. And I try to tell people, when you're doing drugs, and sometimes it's difficult, but when you're doing drugs, you have to look at all aspects, not just the drugs that you partake in, but you have to think about your health. And
mm-hmm.
so get that out as well. So in knowing this, that's what I want to express to people. If you're doing drugs or you have a partner or you know of someone who is doing drugs, have them get tested as well, not just to see if they're clean, not to get them into some type of counseling, but to help them understand that they can contract something as well as pass it along. And, yes, it can be dormant because of the other things, but we got to educate ourselves when it comes to drugs and, pretty much passing along STD.
I definitely agree. You made some good points, and we haven't really talked about the drug use, but, one big thing that comes from drug use from a lot of people who have been clean now is hepatitis, too.
Mm-hmm.
That comes a lot from drug use, sharing needles, and that is, hepatitis A, that is the actual sexually transmitted one, but I think B and C, you can get it from, needles,
right?
Sharing needles.
Right, and it necessarily does affect the liver. It takes a hold of the liver so much more quicker than you can believe.
Right. So you brought up some good points. I really appreciate you joining us. And everyone, just to let you all know, Tasha did a lot of work with me when I first started doing sex and sensuality and some other things that I've done, counseling-wise, and she does a lot of alcohol and drug counseling. So I'm glad that you commented and made that point. Anything else you wanted to say or before we go to the next?
Just basically not only get tested, but please be aware of some of the drugs that you may partake in, and that also adds to STDs. So just be careful overall, be it sexually, partner to partner, however many partners, and alcohol and drugs and things of that nature.
Definitely. Great points. Thank you, Tasha, for joining us today.
Thank you, Ms. Nika. I'll see you soon.
All righty. Continue to listen. Okay. So I love that she made that point. And then I just also want to let people know there is a difference between contraceptives and protection. A lot of people don't know that you are not being you're not protecting yourself from an STD just because you're using a diaphragm, or you using spermicide. That doesn't mean that you are protecting yourself against an STD. When you use a birth control, that's not protecting you against an STD. Those things are only protecting you from becoming pregnant, and that's it. So
a lot of adults don't know that?
A lot of people don't know, and it's very sad, but they don't. Mm. So I just wanted to make sure I brought that up and made sure people know that. So the next topic I really want to get into is the HSV-1 and the HSV-2 discussion. Now, it's going to be a big one, only because that is another thing that is very that is not talked about as often, and I really want us to discuss it. And I'm going to bring on, we have another person who's just kind of joining the panel. And Chuck, are you still on? Because I kept you on. Is he still there? He is. He probably don't know that he's off mute, but he is still holding on. But I have he's still there. I have somebody else that is joining us, and I'm just waiting for her to.
Jamika, I'm still here. I'm sorry. I was on mute.
Oh, okay. Good. I just wanted you to know that we still have you here. We haven't let you go. So if you want to chime in, you can chime in anytime you want to.
Thank you. I will.
So,
thank you.
You're welcome. So HSV-1 is oral herpes. Oral herpes appear on your mouth, of course, hence the name oral. So that's more on your mouth. Those are the fever blisters, the, what else would that y'all call them, cold sores that you get that normally pops up on your mouth. And a lot of people find it to be that's okay. You know, that's okay to have oral herpes. It's fine. You know, that's not a big deal because it's just a cold sore. It's just a fever blister. But it's still an STD, really, at the end of the day. And then HSV-2 is genital herpes. That is something that's going to appear on your genital area as well as your anal area, in between your thighs, in between your ass, basically. So just want everybody to know the difference between those two, but to understand that they're both STDs. And there really isn't a difference. The biggest difference is where they appear on your body. You're going to have one in your mouth, one on your genitals, or your behind. That's it.
And let's clear up, herpes 1 is not always sexual transmitted. Let's clear that up.
Now, that's true. It's not always sexually transmitted. It is still an STD, but it's not always sexually transmitted because a lot of babies receive them from people kissing, you know, them, kissing on them or whatever. They think it's okay. And so a lot of kids grow up with these fever blisters and these cold sores, which I think is basically what's contributing to it not being as taboo or as long as genital herpes. So,
and what I don't like about, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Cham on in, girl.
What I don't like about seeing as a teenager and as an adult, what I don't like is I've been around a group of people, mostly our culture, when this happens. They see somebody with a blister or a cold sore on their lip, and they're like, oh, you know, with that again. Oh, what? Oh, mm-hmm. We know what she was doing, or we know what he was doing. And that's, and again, I blame it on you're not educated, but it's so ignorant, you know, mm-hmm. to hear that. Because as we were just saying, most of the time, the cold sores are not, you know, herpes 1 is not necessarily from sex. You know, so it's kind of sad that you hear our culture just, oh, that's the first thing they say. And it's like you're downing that person, and that person could have had it all their life from a baby, and mm-hmm. they had no control over that. Now you're making them feel, you know, a certain way, and they're mm-hmm. like, what are you talking about? I didn't even, this is not sexual transmitted, you know. Yeah. I didn't get some sex, you know. So, it goes all the way back to education, you know. People need to get educated on all of the STDs, you know, because it's...
Well, Joy, and speaking along those lines, so if any point in any of our lives, if we ever had a cold sore, should you tell someone you're dating, you know what, I had a cold sore before?
I think that
should that be a discussion? I've had a cold sore before.
And I know you. I don't know if you're just asking Joy only,
yeah,
but I just kind
of
want to chime in there.
Yes.
Okay. I think that you should tell people that, because just because you've had cold sores doesn't mean I want a cold sore. And we don't
mm-hmm.
know that just because, you know, HSV-1 and HSV-2, they that just because they're not visibly showing on the skin, you can
mm-hmm.
still carry the viral load in your mouth or on your vaginal or penile region. You can still carry the disease on your skin, the virus
mm-hmm.
on your skin, and pass it off on someone. It's not as often, but it can happen. So you telling me this, you know, helps me be a little bit more cautious. A little bit more cautious, you know. So I think, yeah, you should tell people, yeah, I've had cold sores before.
Okay.
Yes.
To the flip side of that, then, have any of you all ever asked anyone, have they ever had a cold sore before?
Mm-mm. I actually have.
No. I've never asked. I can honestly say I've never asked anyone, have they had a cold sore, but most of the people that I've been involved with, I've seen their cold sores. So they didn't necessarily tell me. And that's the thing with oral herpes. People feel like they don't have to talk about it because it's just a cold sore. It's just a blister. It's going to go away. So they feel like they don't have to talk about it. So they're not feeling like it's an STD to actually bring up to someone to discuss it with them. So when they have it, they're just like, oh, I just came down with a cold sore. Let me go get my little whatever they use, Carmex, and it's going to clear up in a few days. You just can't kiss me. So I've seen it before on people, and I've never contracted it, though. So, you know.
So here we are in this day and age where we all feel, well, you know, I'm attracted to this person, I like this person. So there's certain things that you're probably not going to say or even tell the truth about anyway until after some time period. Even if you ever tell the truth about it, you might not ever bring certain things up because the fear of not, you know, having this person in your life or losing this person based on the topic of your discussions. Like I said, you know, like everyone says, in the first 6 months, you're meeting the representative. And then after those 6 months, then you finally meet the real person. You know, so, it's just,
right.
so you're not going to know that person until after a certain time period. So even after that 6 month period, you're still getting to know a person. Then after a couple of years, and so how many times have you been in a relationship and the person is going to, you know, you're going to find something new about that person that you've never known before. So like I said, so where does it go back to? You know, it has to go back to the testing or you, you know, being the person, like I said, in my case, it would be the female saying, look, you know, I'm not going to do certain things with you, you know, and until I see the testing, I can tell you, even myself, period, I never have been the type of person that, you know, kissing. To me, kissing is more intimate than actual sex.
Mm.
You know, so, but like I said, you know, that's me personally. But like I said, but there's certain people who, you know, like to kiss, and, you know, and I know women who like to kiss, but it's not me, unless I'm just really in love with you and into you, you know, then, yeah, cool, I don't mind kissing you. But like I said, so it goes back to the testing, you know, and the person who,
is the female or the less the aggressive person, you know, or either both parties, you know, to say, mm-hmm. look, you know, hey, I need to see some testing on you, you know, before we proceed to certain levels, you know, because if you're expecting that person to tell the truth about, you know, their history, their medical history, you know, I can tell you more than likely you're not going to get it out of them, you know,
no.
especially if they like you and they're interested
yeah.
in you.
That's true.
Right.
I agree. That's why it's important to definitely just test up front. And another thing, just to let everybody know, HSV 1 and 2, those are not the general STDs that they test for in most doctors' offices.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to actually
ask
for those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to ask for those tests because you're not going to be tested for those automatically. So if you're having sex with someone new, you may want to ask them to go ahead and, you know, did you get tested for genital herpes? Did you get tested for oral herpes? And I have heard of a young lady who was just like, she's not sleep. She didn't even want to have sex with the person because the person had oral herpes. So, and there is a possibility, just to let everyone know, that oral herpes can travel to genital regions. So if you have a cold sore, you go down on the female or you go down the male, they can contract oral herpes in a genital region. The difference is that oral herpes does not like to present in a genital area. So you may never have an outbreak, but you will still carry the virus in your body. The same with genital herpes. It doesn't necessarily like to present in the mouth, but it can, you know, you can give somebody genital herpes in their mouth, and but it may not present because it doesn't necessarily like to present in the mouth. So they pretty much like to stay within their own region of the body. But you can still contract it, you know, by oral sex too, just to let everyone know.
My thing is, you know, so, you know, I remember, you know, back when I was in school and we had sexual, you know, education classes, when they brought in the most graphic pictures, you know, showing pictures of
right.
the genital area with all these bumps and rashes
mm-hmm.
and everything, and even of the mouth and everything. And that scared us. You know, I mean, it was like a scared straight class, which was good because, you know, now we were educated. But that picture remained in our mind, and it remains in my mind to today, you know, of the consequences. So, like I said, you know, and the kids don't see that. They don't understand or see the consequences of unprotected sex and what it could do to them forever. And to the flip side, like I said, well, another side of that, this young lady who I know I should date her sister a long time ago, she was dating this guy in college going to Savannah State. And she didn't know the guy, you know, they were having sex in college, and the guy gave her herpes, and she felt at this point that, you know, after she contracted it, that she would not be able to have another relationship with anyone else because of this disease. So she married him. She's married to him today, and miserable. She's married to him today, and this is they've been married at least 12 years now, and she's miserable in this relationship with this man because she felt obligated to marry him because she felt that no one else would date her beyond this man. Now, he was in the military and, you know, contracted it overseas somewhere and came home and gave it to her, and so, like, she has it now, and she's in this relationship stuck and miserable.
Oh, my gosh. And that's something I feel very bad for her because it's not true. I think the more that we become educated on what genital herpes is and what oral herpes is, I think that people can start relaxing their, not necessarily saying that, oh, okay, you have genital herpes, so I don't want to have sex with you, I don't want to be with you. But that is not necessarily the case because that doesn't mean you're going to get it. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean you're going to get it. It means that now you have to take an extra step of precaution when you have sex mm-hmm. with that person. So you may want to, you know, use a condom. Or when you know this person is going through a breakout, just leave the person alone for a few days. It will heal up. It will go better. There are medications out there, too, that will actually lessen the amount of virus that lives on the skin in between outbreaks. So they can take that medication.
And just because, too, that person has told you they had herpes and you're like, oh, screw you, and you go to the next person,
mm-hmm.
that next person can have it because just like Mika said earlier, you have to ask for those testing, those particular mm-hmm. ones. So So if you do not know this, you know how many people are walking around that are not getting tested for herpes and could have herpes, and
right.
they do not know themselves. So I know I read an article. I know it was the numbers, you know, were high as far as how many people, you know, have herpes without that don't know walking around, you know. So it's crazy to think, you know, oh, I know she has it or I know he has it, so I'm going to leave them alone. Then you go to the next person, you don't know if they have it either.
Right.
And do you even know you got it?
Right.
Did you get
right.
tested
the,
for it?
Right.
right.
So,
and then it's not a destiny. Go ahead. Ask
I want to ask this question because I've heard both, I mean, two different answers about this as far as mm-hmm. contracting herpes. I've heard that you can still contract herpes if they're not having an outbreak. Is that true
mm-hmm.
or false?
That is
well,
very
that's
true.
That's what I was talking about, the virus living on the skin. Like, you may not necessarily have the actual bump, because sometimes it manifests inside your body. So it may mm-hmm. be something going on inside your body, and the virus is on the outside shedding. So you do have
shedding,
a shedding
yep.
period that happens before the actual bump comes. And then, but sometimes the bumps may not even come. You just may have
a shedding. Yeah, it's a lot of people that actually have herpes that have never actually had an outbreak.
Yeah.
And then the ones that,
wow.
and like Chuck was saying earlier, that those pictures, that class, that whatever you took and y'all saw those horrific pictures of all those bumps, a lot of people, now they showed y'all the most gruesome of the gruesome cases. Now,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of people that do break out and they get one bump.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
or two.
Or
and it may look
two.
Like a razor bump.
And then, it looks like a razor bump. And they don't even know, again, that they have herpes because they don't know that they have to ask for this test when they go in. They're thinking, they're trusting the doctors that they're getting all of the STDs that they need to be getting tested for. In actuality, they're not. And what's sad
right.
is a lot of doctors don't even tell you that, oh, you know, you do you want this? You know, because we don't do this automatically. You know,
mm-hmm.
so that's kind of messed up too, you know, that a lot of doctors
right.
also don't even tell you what's all included in the STD
mm-hmm.
testing and what it, you know, what's not. So
normally
it's all different cases.
Normally they're going to test you for gonorrhea and chlamydia. Those are main two. Syphilis, and really those are three that they're going to test you for.
Mm-hmm.
Really. That's
well,
it.
Well,
I'm curious.
Oh, go ahead, Chuck.
I'm curious to know from everyone on the panel and all of the listeners, has anyone ever confessed to you prior to you being engaged with them in a physical manner that they have an STD or have had an STD?
No. Not to me.
Not
yeah,
me.
I've never heard anybody confess that they've had an STD with me before, but I do practice. I try to practice safe sex. But, see, I can admit, like, I'm the one person that's going to be like, you know, show me your HIV results, and I'm about good. Let's go get HIV. And that's really
right. When the last time, you know, you got checked, how often do those my questions. When the last time you got checked, how often do you go get checked?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then
mm-hmm.
vice versa, you know, I tell them, yeah, about me. I had one example, and I totally just left this person alone. But I asked him when the last time he got tested, and he got very defensive, and I was baffled. I was like, you should want me to ask you this. Like, why are you
right.
getting angry
uh-huh.
right now?
Absolutely.
And that scared me, and I was just like, nah, I'm good, you know?
Right.
So as adults,
yeah.
you shouldn't be getting angry that somebody's asking you that, you know?
Yeah,
so.
You should feel like they're protecting you for the most part. But I
right.
know my biggest thing is that I'm going to go and have the HIV test with the person, and we do that, and we show each other our results. That is my biggest
mm-hmm.
thing that I make sure about. But because I'm always being tested for oral or genital herpes. So, but one thing I haven't asked a lot of people about, are there, and I'm just being authentic, I haven't asked a lot of people about their genital or, you know, their HSV 1 or 2 results. I haven't asked that question, and maybe I should start. I mean, I think I should start. Ain't no maybe. I should start.
there has been, in my lifetime, maybe three girls that they wanted to inspect my area, which is good for me, which is cool with me. But I mean, that still doesn't, you know, tell them anything. But prior to doing anything, even with the condom, they wanted to inspect my area to see if there was anything, you know, that I could have been hiding. Like I said, it didn't say anything as far as, you know, like say anything that's dormant, you know. But however, but you know, they, you know, asked the question, you know, and then we proceeded, and then before even doing anything, they're like, all right, let me take a look and see what you got.
Mhm.
Oh yeah.
I think that's good. I want to see it too. I want to look at it and see what's down there. Make sure I don't see any bumps.
Right. Exactly.
But what if they really are just razor bumps?
Right.
But still, I mean, you know, still at least they're doing, they're being proactive. And my whole deal is, I'm like, cool, I want to introduce you to the man anyway.
Oh my gosh. That's another story.
Go ahead and meet him. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Shut up. Well, I think that we have had a very good conversation tonight. I'm so thrilled at how many people that are listening to this, that are chiming in, making comments. I'm so thankful for the panel tonight. I feel like we've covered so much. We still have a few more minutes if you all have something else that you all want to talk about. But I just love the fact that we are getting a conversation out. And this is what the G-Spot is all about. It's about talking about those hard topics, bringing them up, putting them in your face, making you think about these things, and making you talk about them. Because otherwise, without Mika Ray, you probably would not talk about it. So that's what I'm here for.
Hey, I agree.
Right.
I totally agree. Thank you, Mika Ray.
Oh, you're very welcome, Chuck. We need these conversations.
I want to make one quick point. So I know a lot of us, you know, including your listeners, are probably very good at, you know, like Chris being a minister. He's interacting with children and probably mentoring kids. And all of us, you know, we have a certain point where we mentor some young adults and speak to young adults about various things. I know we talk about career development and they talk about life. But one of the things we don't bring up, even ourselves as mentors, is, you know, what they're doing as far as, you know, sex and how are they handling themselves, how are they protecting themselves. And I think that we need to include that into the topics of and be more involved with that with mentoring also, because that's critical to their lives and their future as well.
I think that is a great point, because I think it goes back to the fact that we find it very uncomfortable to talk about sex. Period. Whether it's good sex, bad sex. Well, I'm saying we as a society, Chuck. Okay. We find it very hard to talk about it, and we have to take the taboo away from sex. Because, and this is the reason why I do sex and sensuality, is because if we don't talk about it, then rape continue, molestations continue, sexual abuse continue in society, because people don't feel comfortable enough to get out there and say, you know what, I was raped, or I was molested, or he is or she is molesting me. They don't know how to talk about it because we're not even talking about good sex. So if we're not even talking about good sex, how are people going to talk about bad sex to you?
And I meant to mention that earlier, too, about someone being raped or molested as far as getting an STD. A lot of these young girls contract STDs that they can't get rid of from being raped or being molested. So, you know, growing up, then you're an adult, and then you try to tell someone that you're dating, you know, pray to God that this is somebody, a guy that will understand and not look at, and not look at you, you know, a certain way, not judge you, But then on the flip side, it's like how many people are out there versus the ones that are going to judge? You know, how many good people that are going to look at you and say, you know, I understand, I'm still going to stay with you versus, no, I'm out. It's more of I'm out than I'm a stay, you know, and it's sad because
if they're out, it's okay, be out, but don't belittle the person. Don't go and spread their news. Don't try to hurt them or kill them or do whatever, because they've been honest with you. They're telling you the truth. They're making sure they are protecting you. Let them be. If you don't want to be with them, fine. Go ahead on. It's somebody that's going to want to be with them. It's someone that's going to be out there that's going to understand.
And that's going to actually prevent them from being open next time.
Right. That prevents them from being open the next time.
Exactly.
So think the more conversation we have about sex, the easier it's going to be for people. First off, the more people will learn about it and then, you know, and become educated and less ignorant when it comes to someone living with an STD. And then it's going to be easier for people to talk about it. And I don't agree that you have to talk about it right away. You should only talk about it when you know that things are becoming, you know, just because I'm dating you, I went on a date with you once or twice, it may not be time for me to talk about my sexual history with you. But if we know that things are starting to become a little bit more serious and we're kind of heading to a very serious something, I'm seeing you every day of my life type thing, then it's time to go ahead and have that conversation. And I just want to bring on one caller, 7621. Hello, 7621.
Hi, good evening. Hi, Mika. It's Henny. Hi, sweetie.
Hey, how are you? I'm so glad to hear your voice. How you doing?
Same here. I'm well, I'm well. I thought I had chimed in too late, and I was listening a little. Wow, I don't have a lot to share. I'm just, like, really, really curious because it's like, you have so much to worry about now. And I have been in a relationship for, like, what? 27 years, and then I became single 7 years ago. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. So I was like, oh, no. And so far I've been very fortunate. I've had two long-term relationships, and we did discuss that after, like, I just heard you say after a while. I mean, it was, just didn't come right out. But, you know, we did get to that point, and I was like, you know, you need to get tested. I will get tested, and, you know, thank God things were okay. But, you know, it doesn't have to go that way. So it's like I don't want to get to the point where my luck, so to speak, runs out. And if that does happen, well, how will I handle that? And like I heard you say, if someone does have something and my feelings are that way that I want to handle it, you know, the education part of saying, you know, wow, we need to do such and such, or, you know, now I got to go through this whole another learning process. So it's a lot.
It is a lot. It can be a lot, especially, you know, I know that things have changed after 27 years of being in a monogamous relationship. So first off, I understand. You know, if you are with someone and they have told you, you know, yes, I do have an STD, but I still want to be with you. I would love to have you in my company. Mm-hmm. It's going to be up to you at that point to educate yourself on regards to what they have, you know, and is this, is you make the decision. Is this somebody that I really want to be with? And how, and if myself and we do become sexually involved with each other. Because just because somebody else has an STD does not mean that you're going to contract it. It doesn't mean that, especially if you are taking precautions. Because
now, when you say precautions, though, that's where I'm like, what? What do you mean? Like, cover, you know, your tongue, cover, you know, what do you mean precautions?
Well, just having protected sex. So if you're having sex with a man and he's, I don't know if you decide to stay with someone who's HIV positive. And there are a lot of couples out there, believe it or not, who have one partner is HIV positive and the other partner is not. And they've been together for years. But what they've done is they have figured out a way to protect themselves sexually, and that's having protected sex. You can have protected sex and protect yourself from receiving an STD from someone. That's the importance of contraceptive, of using protection.
Yeah,
is to prevent acquiring an STD. That's why it was made in the first place. So you can introduce that into your relationship if it hasn't been used, or you could use that, you know, to protect yourself. But it's all going to come with you educating yourself on what type of STD they have, and we already know it's going to either be, if it's something long-term that can't be, you know, done away with medication, it's HIV, herpes, hepatitis, or in some cases with women, the what's the thing?
The HPV.
Right. Yeah,
right.
HPV. So you can still protect yourself from all those STDs so that you are not at risk to receive them. You not to say, though, that you may not receive it, but you can protect yourself and educate yourself on to lessen your risk.
Okay.
But that's a choice that you will have to make for yourself, because you don't have to stay with someone who is positive with the STD.
Yeah, true enough. But I'm not even thinking if that conversation happened to go that way. Let's just say that, you know, everybody's good to go, but you know, they may not be as monogamous as you are. So, you know, there's chances they may have another partner, or get another partner, have another partner, and they come back like your test is great, but then something flares up. Now you have been having unprotected sex, so you find out that they may have ventured out. So now you're like, oh no, we have to have protected sex now. So, and this is with a female. So you're going there, like, what?
Now, the thing is, the first thing that you should do automatically is not, oh, I need to have protected sex. No, the first thing you need to do is go and get tested and make sure you haven't contracted something from them.
Sure.
Period. Once, if they've come back to you, they have some type of STD that you found out about, it's time for you to go and get tested. And then once you are tested, then you make the decision to say, okay, do I want to stay with you or do I want to leave you? Because you have to think about, they've done a lot. They have cheated on you, so they've been dishonest. And not only have they been dishonest and cheated, they've cheated unprotected. So is that means they are not respecting you. So is that somebody you even want to be with in the first place to sit up there and go through, now I got to live with you and your STD after you cheated on me?
Yeah. Crazy, right? So, well, now nobody's cheating. Let's say nobody's cheating, and you know, you meet someone, it starts to get really serious, and you are going to go there, and you're like, show me your papers. I got mine. Everybody's good to go, but you still, because you're not in maybe a committed relationship, you still want to protect yourself. So you want to have protected sex, just period, from the door. Like, you know, you're not taking any chances. So you want it from the door. My thing is, I've never had to do that. So what are the devices? Like, you know, what are the devices to protect yourself 100% if there's such thing?
With a female or you're staying with men?
With females, right.
So, of course, with females, there are dental dams, you know, that you can use. If you're performing oral sex on them or they're performing oral sex on you, they can use dental dams. So dental dams are the main thing, the main source of protection for females. You may not want to be bumping and grinding on them then. If you feel like you're worried about an STD with them, don't bump and grind on them, because you're going to be putting your, you know, in fluids mixed. You're putting your two vaginas together, and you don't know what type of fluid is going to mix with you two, which can lead to that. So don't bump and grind. If you're using any type of sex toys, make sure you are cleaning those sex toys every time you all have sex, and you're cleaning them in the proper manner that you're supposed to clean those toys. A lot of people think they can use some hand sanitizer and it's okay. No, you need to boil it, clean the germs off, use some sex toy cleaner. But you're washing them, and then you can also protect yourself, too, by using a condom on those sex toys. They can carry infections, and that will get into you, even if it's just a yeast infection or a bacterial infection.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Come on now, Ken. Okay. I got an answer for everything you got to ask me.
But I know that's right. That's why I called you. Loving it.
So it's getting close to an end. So I'm not going to be able to answer everything. But you have my email. I know you talk to me on Facebook a lot. So you know you can email me some more stuff.
Of course.
But we have like 3 more minutes. So do you have anything else
you
want
to? No problem. Good show. I'm listening. Okay. Thanks, Mika.
But thank you so much for calling in. Okay. You have a good night as well.
You too. I'm staying right here. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. So she asked some very, very, very good questions, and that was a great way, in my opinion, to wrap up the show.
Can I ask you one more question?
Yes. Make it quick. We got
What was the name? Because I know there's a protective way for men to have oral sex. What was the name of that again?
Yes, and this is for men, too. Dental dams. And a dental dam, and I'll tell you what it is. And I also post it inside the Facebook group. But in the dental dam, a dental dam is basically a thin layer of film. And you put that film on the vaginal area. And you're right, so I'm sorry that I didn't mention that men can use it too. And I know I kind of put it towards women having sex, but definitely for men too. You put that dental dam over their vaginal region, and you can thank you, Joy. And then you can and you can perform oral sex now, but it's really thin, so they still receive the same sensation, but you're protected.
Okay, and so what if you're dealing with someone like about 16 years ago? I was dating this girl, and she was a squirter. I'm looking for her today.
You got 1 minute.
Oh, Lord.
You can inbox Mika Ray at Mika Ray
for that, okay? Thank you. Okay, but I do have to wrap it up, and I just want to also mention this, ladies. There are female condoms out there too. So if you have a man and he's saying, "I don't want to wear a condom," then you can pull out your little female condom, put that thing right up in you, and they can still have sex, but you're protected. So you can always compromise. So that's a good compromise.
They having sex with that cup,
but at least you know what? You're protected. They ain't wearing no condom. So there you go. So everybody knows that you can tune in to us every Saturday. Brunch in the Basement is on WJBR every Saturday from 11 to 1. That's Brunch in the Basement with Javon. I have a spot on there. The news is on there with Nathan James. Then Javon does Sunday Evening Shout on Sunday evenings from 6:30 to 8:30, I think it is. But that's for those are not going to church and you just kind of want some church, and she's going to give you some church. And then, of course, meet every Monday 10 to 11 or 11:30. We went to 11:30 tonight because this was a serious show. So I thank you all for joining me. Thank you, Joy. Thank you, Keith. Thank you, Chucky. I appreciate y'all so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
I appreciate y'all, and I hope I have y'all again next Monday. And we're going to end with one song. It is Maybe by Tiana, and I hope you all have a great night. We thank y'all for joining WJBR. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Hey, you know what it is, shout it. Maybe it's the money, baby, maybe not. Maybe I fell in love with you on the spot. Never lie, keep it G, I told you that they're off the top. Maybe you never met a street thugging on the block. Name fool with no thought, shout it. Powerball, this your shot, shout it. And if they hate, then let them talk, shout. And I've been drinking too much, and it got me thinking too much. You in my head, what the f***?
Say, boy, you done did it. Love how you kiss it. Ooh, you can get it. I never felt like that before. Ooh, you the realest. Yeah, I admit it. All with that. Cause you put it down and I need parts of that. Just touch your phone where you at. Give me rounds, I need all of that. Ain't even got a knock, let the door lock. So is you trying to take it down or not? Or not?
Pause. Wait a minute.